Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Keeping partly cloudy conditions in the forecast for the rest of today and a pretty clear go of it tonight and into tomorrow. Today's high rebounding to the low 80s and the overnight low at 60 degrees. A mix of clouds and sunshine on Friday, the high 85. We're back to the mid 80s on Saturday, more clouds streaming in and a disturbance trying to draw in some widely scattered showers and a storm here, and also a chance through Saturday night. Strong to isolated severe storms are possible. Dry weather Sunday, the high upper 70s. I'm staff meteorologist Jennifer Naramore, KMBZ Weather.
83 right now at KCI. It is 79 in Blue Springs, looking at 82 at your official weather station.
Hello, my people.
The outfield is your artist of the day.
Keyword to cash?
The keyword to cash is watch. W-A-T-C-H.
Text. Hold my beer and watch this.
Text it into 72881, and you're in the running for $1,000 with the keyword to cash. Your keyword this hour is watch.
Nice to have you back, Miss Dana.
It is so good to be back.
And just for you.
How was our personal day?
I took a personal day. You know, we get a personal day.
We do.
And
we get two of them now, actually.
Really felt like I needed a personal day.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
Did you
great.
Enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do?
I played golf. I'm sorry I did.
I knew it.
Of course
and
you were going to.
And then I emceed an event for literacy at Boulevard starting around 5 o'clock last night, and that was lovely.
I thought you were going to Lawrence to get Jack his apartment.
That was during the day.
Did you do it?
Well, that's a whole other story. We'll talk about that later.
Let's talk about it right now.
No, I don't want to talk about it right now.
Why not?
I have never been to the outside of Boulevard's terrace.
It is so cool.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, first of all, I'm supposed to be inside doing my MC duties for KPMG. They have a literacy program. Amazing. But I keep being drawn to outside because a storm was rolling in. And I've never been that high up on that side of Kansas City looking toward the whatever direction that is, which is an amazing view of the city. I actually tweeted a picture last night. I'm like, we have a great skyline. I mean, it is just
your picture was stunning.
Neat rooftop over there. And so I don't get downtown a ton. I would love to be down there more than I am. We had a lovely evening raising money for kids who do not have books. I just want to tell you this. Allow me for a second to impart some wisdom upon you. I could not believe this statistic. They're trying to get books into the hands of kids who otherwise might not have books to take home. Okay. So you think about your house, Scott, you've got books everywhere. Sure. I've got books everywhere. Jack, this year, for every book he had to read in high school, I could go to my personal library and pull it out. I'm like, here, I've got 1,000 Splendid Sons. Here you go. So in your average middle class family, there are, I'm trying to remember the number, let's say 50 books per kid, whatever, growing
Damn.
Up, for the children in the home. In a low-income poverty area, the average book-to-child ratio, you are not going to believe this, is one book for 300 children.
Oh, my God.
One
Where's
book
that?
For 300 children. When you compare the average middle-income family and the books you have in your home,
yeah.
Scott, to the average low-income or poverty-stricken area, one book per 300 kids. And so KPMG has this great program where they literally raise money for books. And they take those books and they go into impoverished neighborhoods and they let the kids pick their own books. And it's good that the kids are reading. Anyway, it's a great program and I loved it, but I really enjoyed my personal day. I got to pick up the kids from school. It was good.
What's the story with the apartment?
You know, we're just trying to figure out what we're going to do, where he's going to live.
Why don't you put him in a dorm?
That is on the list of options.
But he doesn't want to live there.
It's on the list. I can't wait for you to go through all this. I just can't. I can't wait.
Well, we already are. I mean, Sean and I are trying to figure out how we're going to split the bills college, because Sarah has to sign up for her, and she is living in a dorm the first year.
Mm-hmm.
No,
you're
question.
Not even giving her a choice.
No. Unless she goes to like JUCO, but I don't see that happening. I think she really has her eyes on KU.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of the girls live in a dorm their first year, and then they'll go, if they join a sorority, they move in their sophomore year. Boys are different. There are a lot of options these days.
I don't believe boys are different.
Let me just say there are a lot of options. There are dorms, there are fraternities, there are apartments. We're trying to figure out
what is best for him. Can I be honest with you?
I know what you're going to say.
What?
You're going to say he should live in a dorm.
I'm
going to
tell you, I think throwing him into an apartment is a mistake. And here's why. And when I went to Nebraska my freshman year, my parents insisted that I live in a dormitory. And I thought, nerds.
Right.
Nerds live in dorms, and my parents are nerds.
Yeah.
I did not realize the wisdom of St. Margaret and St. Mayo.
So you're going to make your daughter live in a dorm?
You're damn right, and here's why.
Okay.
In a dormitory, I don't know why I'm such a nerd and keep calling it a dormitory when it's really a dorm.
Mm-hmm.
Like a frat, fraternity, whatever. You don't call it a frat, it's a fraternity. Shut up, dorks. When you live in a dorm...
We're such a spaz sometimes.
God.
When you live in a dorm, you get a modicum of independence.
Mm-hmm.
But your bills are paid. Your food is prepared.
You have to pay for the food, by the way, which...
No, your parents pay for it.
Right.
Or your student loan pays for it.
We're learning all kinds of things very quickly about what this all costs.
But what I'm saying, Dana, is you're basically, if you put him in an apartment, and listen, you don't have to take parental advice from me. You're a great parent. But I'm just offering it to you free of charge.
Yeah.
If he goes into an apartment, he's literally gone from living in your house where... Basically, meals are prepared. He doesn't have to pay a single bill to all of a sudden being thrusted right into adulthood.
Hello, adulthood.
Yeah.
Did you live in a dorm, Kara?
I did.
Did you love it?
I loved it.
Okay.
I lived in a dorm for 2 years.
Libby was telling me the other night her best friends in life, except me, of course, let's be honest, were from the dorm.
Yep.
Her first year.
Yep. I'm still friends with people that I lived with.
But the swing, Scott, in dorm amenities these days is not insignificant. That's all I'm going to say.
What do you mean?
Well, there are some dorms that have not been refurbished yet.
And there are some that have.
And there are some that have theaters and rooftop pools.
Well, and there are some dorms that, like at KU, where back in the day, we would all have to shower in one big, huge bathroom in the middle of the floor.
No, that's just awkward.
Now
it's like one bathroom per two suites was what they call them now. They call them suites.
Suites.
And they put bathrooms in between them.
But, you know, these colleges are doing this to woo. I mean, they want,
there's money to be made
in
a dorm.
They want iPhone, cell phone hookups in the walls. I mean, you know, there's technology.
Sure.
It's just there's a lot to think about.
What all I'm saying is if you put Jack in a dorm, he doesn't have to worry about bills. Now, he gets that freedom that comes from not living in your house anymore.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to worry about paying his bills, electricity, water, heat. That's all paid for by the university through your generous donation to the dorm. The meals are cooked for him, so he just goes downstairs and goes to the cafeteria and gets whatever he wants. Then, as he learns how to adjust to a certain level of freedom, then he goes to the apartment.
I tend to agree.
Where you start adding things on, like, well, now you have to pay your own bills.
Yeah.
And there is penalties.
This is what cable costs.
Yeah. There are penalties if you don't pay your bills all of a sudden, Jack. But you've learned some freedom. But now you've got to feed yourself and you've got to pay your own bills. So you figure it out.
Someone just wrote in, I'm touring schools with my son now. Vanderbilt has done multiple studies that prove that kids in the dorm have a better success rate finishing college.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's true.
Yeah.
You get socialized better, honestly.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
More people that are your same age and same experience level.
And Kara, to your point, some of the people that I met in the dorm, I am still to this day friends with. Don Glasscock, I met in the dorm.
Yep.
You know, Jeff McCarriger, I met him in the dorm. Mike Ward, who later became my roommate for the rest of college, I met him because he lived right next door to me in the dorm, you know?
My best friend in the whole wide world shared a wall with me in college.
Oh, that's great.
So,
you know, people are asking, is he not going to go into a fraternity? KU is having some issues right now with with fraternal housing. Mm-hmm. We'll just leave it at that. We went down that road, and now the road that we had settled on is the road is closed, as is the house. And so, well, like, there is no road or house.
What fraternity was he hanging out with? Lambda, Lambda, Lambda?
He was looking at a couple of them, and it doesn't even matter because, Scott, somebody said the other day that this is the first nail in the coffin cut across the country. They think that system is slowly going to start changing. I don't know whether that's true or not, but universities are not messing around anymore with the slightest of infractions. If it is a perceived method of hazing, and I've heard this, Scott, where they'll say freshmen have to have 2 study hours a night, but the upperclassmen don't. That could be perceived.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you.
Not as hazing.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Because you're making one group of students do something that the others don't have to do. And I'm telling you, universities have decided they are done.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. It's a mess. But anyway, my day was good. That's the very long way of telling you that yesterday my day was good.
We're bringing Lambda, Lambda, Lambda up on charges of hazing. They are forcing their freshman students
to study. I said, can't we find a happy middle? Like, let's not, you know, forcing them to study is great. Love that. But let's not leave them passed out dying at the foot of the stairs like they did in Pennsylvania without calling for night.
Yeah, you know,
there's got to be a happy middle between study hours and murder. Let's find a middle.
I just don't understand why anybody would be forced to be like, here, you have to study for 2 hours. Well, I don't have 2 hours worth of work to do. So what am I supposed to do?
Someone just said, absolutely, in the rules, that is hazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to puke.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to puke.
I'm sorry.
No, I want to puke that only one texter got the Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
Oh, really? Tell me about DB Cooper.
I knew you were going to be asking about this. Oh, my God. So they think
they find him?
They think they figured out who it is.
Stop it.
Yes. So there's a publisher.
Was it DB Cooper?
It was not. His real name was a Walter Recca. R-E-C-A.
Let me look it up.
He was a former military paratrooper and intelligence operative.
Guilty! They thought it was going to be a paratrooper.
So this Michigan publisher worked with Rika's best friend, Carl Lauren, in compiling the evidence.
Okay, there's his
Rika
picture.
Died in 2014 at the age of 80.
I don't know. He doesn't really look like him. Look at his picture next to the composite.
So here's some of the evidence.
Okay, lay it on me.
Witness testimony from an individual who spoke with Rika within an hour of his jump. Documentation concerning how the $200,000 in stolen cash was spent.
Okay.
Confessions from Rika to two individuals at two different times. And an article of clothing that Rika wore during the trip.
Huh.
Guilty.
What do you think?
Guilty.
I don't know. I don't remember this guy's name in that documentary I had you all watch.
That turned out to be nothing.
Well, they were probing, not solving. It was a probing.
I had one of those once.
Really? Scott. Really?
Well, I did.
After the heist, Rika said he put the money in the bank and that he had family to take care of before jobs overseas came up. He treated it like a bank heist. No big deal.
Okay.
It was done.
Really quick, because I know we're up against break. I have a run, do not walk, and I'm going to get it all out really quickly.
Like the DB Cooper thing?
Yes. No. Now, forget that. Forget that. This is a run, do not walk. I'm not even speaking to Wicket right now because I told him not to even speak to me until he sees this. Go to Netflix. It is about a bank robbery. It is called Evil Genius. There's only 4 episodes. It is about a bank robbery. You're going to remember this, Kara, from 2003, where a man was leaning up against a police car and he had a bomb attached to his body. And you will remember it was made worldwide news. And you can hear it going beep, 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 beep. And then I won't tell you what happens when the beep stop. But in episode one, just trust me, Evil Genius on Netflix. It is about a bank robbery in 2003. I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning watching it.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
How long are each of the episodes?
An hour. No, an hour.
Okay.
Oh, Kara Marxer.
So good?
Oh, it is so good. Run, do not walk. Give me my
All right, we're on it, Dana. We're
I know
on
you
it.
Are. Yeah,
we're gonna,
I know you are.
We're on it.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. That's your homework.
Okay.
Okay.
David.
Dana, right here for Dr. Tague in the Center for Nutrition in Leawood at 135th and Row. I talked to my girlfriend two nights ago. She's down 50 pounds. 50 pounds. In, and she told me this, I want to get it right. October, November, just, 8 months. 50 pounds in 8 months. And I'm so proud of her. She walked in, did her free consultation, is down 50 pounds, more than, I believe, 40 inches. Completely has changed her body type, her face shape. People at work are going, okay, what are you doing? Like, I can really tell you're doing something. And she said to one of her coworkers, this is awesome. Oh, it's like a medically managed program. And they go, are you doing Dr. Tague? I always hear Dana bragging about Dr. Tague. She said, yes, I'm doing Dr. Tague. Go in and make that appointment for your consultation. Whether you want to lose 50, 100 pounds or more, or just to tune up before summer, let Dr. Tague help you. Medically managed weight loss in a program tailored just for you. 913-814-8222 is the number. 913-814-8222 or TagueNutrition.com. You tell them Dana sent you.
Could be holding you tonight. Could quit doing wrong, start doing right. You don't care about what I think. I think I'll just stay here and drink.
Oh, the great Merle.
Hey, putting you down don't square no D.
So in the most inclusive city in the world, in New York City, you guys have probably seen this video. A customer at the New York City restaurant Fresh Kitchen was caught on, he's a customer, by the way, not an employee, so full disclosure, was caught on video in a racist tirade, threatening to call Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, on some employees and patrons because they were speaking Spanish. The minute-long footage, which has now gone
viral,
shows the man berating an employee at the eatery and pointing at others around noontime on Tuesday. Quoting here from the customer, "Your staff is speaking Spanish to customers when they should be speaking English. Every person I listen to, he spoke it, she's speaking it. This is America." That's what he said.
And he's a customer. He's not an owner or an employee. He's just a customer.
Yes.
Okay.
Emily Serrano and her best friend Dina are regular customers at the Madison Avenue restaurant. She told CBS News they befriended one of the workers there and often interact with him in English and in Spanish.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Serrano says a patron who was in the line before her ordered his food in Spanish, and that appeared to agitate the man in the video. Once she and her friend placed their order in the language as well, she said he flipped out on the workers. She then decided to pull out her phone and record him once she started to feel threatened by him. If you intend to be running a place in Midtown Manhattan, your staff better be speaking to customers in English.
Okay, New York is the biggest melting pot that we have in America. If he really believes that, he needs to move to, like, I don't know, what's the whitest city in America?
The whitest city in America? Fargo, North Dakota?
I just said Bethesda, Maryland. You know what I mean? If you really don't want to see anyone who doesn't look like you, white guy, you do not need to live in New York City.
Well, I'm looking at the map right now. I bet like Miles City, Montana, but that's pretty white.
Wyoming, maybe?
Cody, Wyoming. I bet that's a pretty white little city. I mean, we don't let any of the coloreds in there.
So does he get in trouble for that?
I don't know.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Maybe, let's see here. Nothing down south that's got all the brown people there.
There's a lot of people who are calling for him to get fired from his job.
Well, see, that's my question, because you always end up finding out who these people are. And you know what he's going to say? I was having a bad day.
I hate brown people.
I really am into the immigration debate. Well,
Do you know what Robin Roberts said about him?
What?
Apparently on his like LinkedIn profile, it actually says, I speak Spanish.
It does not.
Yeah, that's what Robin Roberts was saying this morning on GMA.
Does it really? That's fantastic.
Do you think he should be fired?
No. No.
Does it matter what he does for a living?
Sure, of course.
And then...
Yeah, if he's like a news anchor or something.
Okay.
Or,
he's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer? No. Aren't you allowed to be racist? Aren't you allowed to say, this is America, we speak it in English?
Well, here's what's funny. He threatened to report them to ICE. There are a lot of people in this country who speak Spanish who are American citizens.
No, there aren't.
Yeah, there are.
No, there are not. If you're an American citizen, you speak English.
Stop it. Stop it. You know, you please tell people
skin.
You are kidding.
You, no, I'm not. I'm not going to tell people I'm kidding because I'm not. You speak English and you have white skin. Period. End of story.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Newsroom, Kara Markser.
A new name for an old arena. We'll have more next.
Dana right here for Seal Wants Casey. You know, they came out and did my fencing the other day. Cleaned that fence off. It looks amazing. I got my flowers up. If you, like me, are nesting outside of your house right now because it's finally nice out, call Seal Wants Casey. Think about this. They will come out and seal your deck, your driveway, your garage floor. They've got this permanent sealant, and it's amazing to do it, and here's why. That stuff's expensive. Think about all of your fencing, your deck, certainly your driveway. Protect that investment and let Seal Wants KC help you do it. Their experienced team will come out, clean and seal any wood or concrete surface with that clear, penetrating, permanent sealant. Who wants to think about the cost of replacing that stuff? Seal Wants KC helps eliminate those worries, and they offer a 25-year warranty against deterioration. Think about your garage or basement floors. Seal Wants KC has you covered there with their permanent polymer decorative coating. It looks great. It is easy to clean, non-slip texture. You're going to love it. 816-942-3927 for your free estimate. Mention Dana told you to call. You're going to get that 20% discount. Remember, with Seal Wants, you seal it and forget it. 816-942-3927. Call today.
Partly cloudy conditions, the rule, as we're moving on through the rest of today. There may be a few stray showers and thunderstorms, especially the further east and south that you go, heading for a high temperature in the low 80s. Tonight, we're clear, a low near 60. Mix of clouds and sunshine for tomorrow. We're warming up to about 85. And fair weather Friday night, a low, low 60s. Next chance for widely scattered showers and thunderstorms pulling on in for Saturday into Saturday night, and a stronger storm may form. Drier weather returning on Sunday. I'm staff meteorologist Jennifer Naramore, KMBZ Weather.
83 at KCI, it's 84 downtown, 82 at your official weather station. The radio.com app is the official new home of KMBZ. Download it today. Listen to us anytime, anywhere. Kara Markser, News 98.1 KMBZ.
Somebody wrote in and said, hey, Google Harrison, Arkansas. It is the whitest city in America. It's got a population of 13,000. I don't know if this is the whitest, but it's pretty white. 96.2% white, 0.3% black, 0.6% American Indian, 0.7% Asian, 0.0% Pacific Islander, and 1.6 from two or more races. 2% of the population
is Hispanic. This story, by the way, is on CNN now. So if you ever think that words do not have consequences, this is an attorney who a couple of days ago was known to probably no one except some friends, immediate family, and former clients. He is now on CNN. They are talking about this on CNN right now. And, you know, this happens on Twitter. You know, we see this kind of mob justice from time to time on Twitter, where people have figured out where he works, where he went to college. They're asking the New York bar to look into his racist statements.
I don't think that's a bridge too far.
I think the bar can censure you, and if you're an attorney, please correct me if I'm wrong, for ethical or moral violations. To be in good standing with the bar... You can be a racist, Scott, but you can't go out publicly on a racist rant that ends up on CNN without consequences. I guarantee you the bar steps in and does something.
Ironic that lawyers get to define ethics, but okay.
Okay, ironic that on this idiot's law page, he says Spanish clients And then in Spanish, it says, please call here. Like, he has an entire thing in Spanish for Spanish clients to call if they want to pay him money.
Sure. Somebody says, isn't this guy covered by freedom of speech? No, he's not. And here's why. Now, I'm not saying that he needs to be disbarred or that he should be in some sort of professional jeopardy because he happens to have an opinion that goes against the grain, so to speak. But he is not, Texter 3384, he is not covered by freedom of speech. Let me be very clear, and we've had this conversation before. The Constitution protects you from the government.
Right.
It does not protect you from the consequences of your speech professionally or personally. It only protects you when it comes to your speech from the government of the United States of America. And to a lesser extent, the state's constitutions all have a freedom of speech as well, which protects you from the state government coming after you for what you say.
Right. But the bar is a professional organization to which attorneys belong. And your professional organization can and will say to you, Scott, your behavior is abhorrent, and we are going to chide you for what you did. Now, they can't maybe yank his law license, but they can certainly say, we are going to censure you somehow.
But Dana, the bar, for example, in this case, the New York State Bar of Lawyers, is different than, say, you belonging to AFTRA, okay? The American Federation of TV and Radio Actors, or whatever it's called. Artists. AFTRA doesn't have any real legal string to pull when it comes to your career. The bar in New York does. They could disbar him, which makes it impossible for him to practice law in the state of New York. The idea that the bar would get involved in his private, although in this case public, personal beliefs, I think is too much. You are allowed to be a jerk in America. Now, if his law firm fires him, or
totally fine.
And I don't know if he owns his own law firm or if he works for somebody else.
Hung a shingle or something,
but
we don't know.
Let's say he's just a lawyer in a firm, and they see this rant on TV and they want to fire him because of it, they have every right to do that. I think it's too much, though, when the New York Bar of Lawyers goes after him and says, we don't like your personal point of view regarding race, and we're going to disbar you, or we're going to censure you professionally because of your private beliefs about race. That you are allowed to be a racist in America. You're allowed to be a jerk. Now, your company may not want you to be associated with them anymore.
Sure.
But I think a professional organization that you're required to be a member of to do your job.
Yeah, you are required to be a member of the bar.
You're not required to be a member of AFTRA to be on the radio.
So if you are going to be removed from the bar, that would be for gross misconduct, embezzling from a client. It would have to be, you're saying, more criminal behavior. Something
absolutely
big and bad.
And being a racist is not a crime. Now, it's nothing I aspire to be. It's nothing I know you aspire to be, but it's not a crime. This isn't a guy who embezzled money from his clients. He didn't, you know, smoke 10 pounds of methamphetamine. He doesn't like people who speak Spanish. You're allowed to not like people who speak Spanish in America. Jim in Topeka. It's been a while. Hello, Jim.
Yes. I've got a slightly different twist on the language barriers.
Okay.
I was in a restaurant and the staff was talking in Spanish. The only problem of it was is they were talking in Spanish about me.
Okay.
So I very politely called one over and said, Amiga, ¿es Estados Unidos? Habla inglés, por favor. And she turned as white as a ghost, and there was dead silence the rest of the time that I was there.
What were they saying? Jim, what were they saying about you in Spanish?
Well, we'll not go into that. It was kind of one of those, I could have let it go and could have this, but they were hiding their true feelings in speaking in a way that they thought I would not understand. And it shocked them completely when I spoke it correctly, and they were completely flabbergasted by it. Do I think this guy is on the up and up? No. Do I think he could have done it a whole lot different? Yeah, he's in trouble.
All right,
but there is the other foot on this in hiding a different language when people don't expect that you know it.
Good call, okay. Jim. Always good to hear your voice, man. Somebody says, can you explain how and when Spanish became a race? No, I cannot, because it's not. But Hispanic is a sub-race of the Caucasoid race.
Which is not the topic at hand.
And people who are Hispanic tend to speak Spanish. That's all I'm saying. How is it racist to want people working with the public? Oh, answer this one for me, Dana.
Okay.
How is it racist to want people working with the public in an American city to speak English?
That's not what his rant was entirely about. He, at one point, threatened to call ICE. One of the women was a longtime customer speaking Spanish to the person behind the counter, and they were just speaking Spanish. If I went to a Spanish restaurant with Sandra and she's ordering, she would probably speak Spanish to the waitress if the waitress spoke Spanish.
Let me ask you another question. Why is it that in this country, and I'm not saying this happens with everybody, it certainly does not, but there are certainly people who get frustrated when they go into a restaurant or some sort of store or whatever, and people are speaking Spanish. And for some people, that's frustrating. That's annoying. But if you went into a Chinese restaurant and you said, I'll take the cashew chicken and I'd like two crab rangoon and one vegetable egg roll, and that person at the cash register turned around to the cooks behind him or her
and said,
and started speaking in Mandarin.
Yeah. No one would think a thing about it.
No one would think twice about it.
And actually, the fastest growing percentage number of immigrants to America
are Asian. Primarily Chinese and Vietnamese. If you went into the Vietnamese...
God, I hate it when facts get in the way of someone's agenda. And that always makes me laugh, Scott.
There's an old Vietnamese restaurant over there by KU Med on Rainbow. If you went in there and ordered, you know, I want the whatever, pow pow,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
The Kung Pao chicken.
Yeah. They would turn around and tell the cook, this is what this person just ordered, but they would do it in Vietnamese. You wouldn't think twice. In fact, you'd probably think to yourself, well, I'm kind of cultured. Feeling pretty good about myself right now. I just ordered something and they made sure that I got my order and they said it in Vietnamese. That means this place is authentic.
Yeah.
This place is legit. That's real Vietnamese food. But if they did it in Spanish at Catalina Cancun or
right,
whatever on 87th Street in Johnson County, you would be like, illegals.
Isn't that funny? I mean, not funny
that?
At all.
Why is that?
But interesting, because you're right.
You go to the...
You need to assimilate. You know, I know what you're talking about, Scott, and you are absolutely right. There is something about brown people in America.
No,
that
brown
make
people that speak Spanish.
Mad.
Brown
makes
people that
mad.
Speak Spanish.
And you're right. When it comes to Asians and Asian immigration, which is the highest
you
percentage.
You don't think twice about
no
it?
No one thinks twice
and
about
you're
it.
You're like, wow, I'm at a legitimate Asian restaurant. This is going to be good. But you go to a Mexican restaurant and they relay the order in Spanish. You're like, damn, the illegals. Jeez. Get out. Get out of my country. Why is that? What is it about Mexicans that drive us crazy? And by us, I mean a portion of the
population. Really quick, because I remembered this. This is a November 19th, 2015 story. 2015. Who was in office, Scott? 2015.
Barack Obama was.
More Mexicans are leaving the United States than coming in.
He was the deporter in chief.
There was
remember?
A net loss from 2009 to 2014. It just doesn't fit into the Fox News agenda that everyone thinks everyone's pouring into this country, when in fact more Hispanics are leaving to go back to Mexico than they are coming in.
576-7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment.
By the way, Scott, they call it a net outflow if you want to look it up. Net outflow.
Chris Minders, Dana Wright, Scott Parks on KMBZ. Hey, if you do find yourself in a car accident, knock on wood, it's nothing serious. But when it comes time to get your car fixed, you got to remember this name. And it's real simple. Dale's Collision Repair in Blue Springs. Because at Dale's, I just heard Dana say, I'm going there, actually. Because at Dale's, they are the best in the business. I kid you not. I've been out there. Dale's a personal friend. I've watched his crews at work. And they are, without a doubt, the best at getting your car back to its original condition. Their work, by the way, guaranteed as long as you own your car or truck. So get it fixed right the first time. Dale's in Blue Springs, 816-228-1855. 816-228-1855 or online at dalesautocollision.com. Dale's in Blue Springs, taking care of cars, taking care of you. The album 1984, released in 1983, Van Halen, here on Dan and Parks. Mike in Kansas City. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guy?
Doing well, my friend. Thank you.
You bet. I've listened to you guys for a long time.
Thank you.
And this thing came up, I had to say something, because if you guys are saying that this attorney, or I think you guys were talking about he's a racist.
I certainly think there were racial overtones in his statement. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's a quote, and I know that you know who it is because the person who answered the phone, I told him who it was. But it says, and I quote: "In the first place, we should insist that if the immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American and assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on the exact equality with everyone else. But for it is an outrage to discriminate against any such man because of creed, birthplace, or origin. But this is predicated upon the person's becoming in every facet an American, and nothing but an American. There can be no divided allegiance here. Any man who says he is an American, but something else also, isn't an American at all. We have room for but one flag, the American flag. We have room but for one language here, and that is the English language. And we have room for one sole loyalty, and that is loyalty to the American people." Okay?
Yeah.
So here's what I'm saying. Theodore Roosevelt said that. So I guess he's saying that he could be saying that the people who come to America should assimilate and learn the language of America. So if that's the case, unless Roosevelt is not who he is really, then he's saying that everybody should learn the language of the land. Now, I used to work for a jewelry store in Kansas City. A couple came in, and all they talked was in a different language. They started laughing. They started looking at the jewelry, and they started looking at me, and they started laughing, and I put the jewelry away and put it back and walked away. My boss said, "Why did you do that?" I said, "Because I think it's kind of rude of individuals who come in knowing that, unfortunately, we don't know every language in the world, come and speak that language, make fun of people, and then walk out."
Yeah.
They came back. They came back because they went and shopped, came back and bought the jewelry from me. But the bottom line is, if you're in America, speak the language of America.
If you're in America, let me just make sure I understood you, Mike. If you're in America, make sure you speak the language of America. Is that correct?
And America's language is English.
Okay, let me bring up 2 points real quick, because I thought you would go down that road. Number one, America does not have an official language. It is primarily English. I think most of our business is conducted in English, and of course our entertainment is conducted primarily in English. However,
but the
I find
isn't.
Well, the government most certainly is.
No, you can go to Airbnb.
Mike, you're missing my larger point. It is it is amazing to me, and I fall into this trap as well. Have you ever been to Mexico?
Many times.
Okay. Do you speak Spanish when you go down there, or when you walk into a store, do you say, do you speak English?
I go in there and I ask if they speak English.
Do you see the great irony here? You think that when people come here, they have to speak English, but when you go to a foreign country, and I do the same thing. When I've been to Italy, for example, if I'm in a restaurant, I don't sit there and try to pretend I speak Italian. I look at the waitress and I say, I'm sorry, but do you speak English?
I was in the Philippines during the war.
Did you speak Filipino?
I know all the different dialects of the Filipino language.
So why is it that it's okay for us to go other places and
no,
look at people?
I'm not saying it's right. No, Scott, I'm saying if you live in this country, I'm not worried about going to France or anywhere else.
Okay.
Because I'm not going there. But I'm saying if they want to come here and assimilate with
Mike, we're up against the news break, but let me be very clear and quick. This was in New York City, which is probably of all the cities in the United States, the biggest tourist attraction in the United States. We don't know that these people weren't tourists.
Well, we don't know that. There's a lot of that story that's still uncovered.
Yeah, but this guy just assumed, because they were speaking Spanish, that they were illegal immigrants. There is the racism. Maybe they were from Spain, and they were touring the United States. I would not expect them, on a one-week trip to New York City, to go, we need to learn to speak English because we are in New York. They're going to speak Spanish when they're amongst their friends. Newsroom and Caremark's a keyword to cash, by the way, is crazy. Crazy. 72881. Newsroom Caremark's.
Happening now on KMBZ. Changes for a well-known building in Kansas City. We'll have more next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!